One of the benefits of following the liturgical calendar is that it puts us face to face with topics that we would probably like to avoid. I mean, who of us would not like to reduce the season of Lent by a few days with its fasting and focus on repentance? And who of us would not like to extend the happy and hopeful seasons of Advent or Easter? But the liturgical days help us move through all the times in our life, brokenness and sin, our anticipation of hope and healing, our days of mourning, like Pentecost, for God to move in our hearts like a flame of fire. Who of us wouldn't want to just spend all of our time thinking about that? But today, put before us all, is All Saints Sunday, a day where we are faced with the fact that our friends and our loved ones pass away. All Saints Day is a time where we look at a person's life and we give thanks to God for God's persevering grace that worked in that person's baptism, worked in their life, and in the participation of the community and the church. And actually, death is the completion of your baptismal journey. In baptism, God says, I will be your God no matter what. And that includes death. And so we're to look back with appropriate mourning and also thanksgiving. And we are to look forward in hopeful anticipation toward the full revelation of God and His kingdom. And by looking forward, we are actually preparing ourselves for the future life in that kingdom that shall not end. And I know that that sounds strange. I'm the one that typed that sentence. It does seem a little strange, but it's actually the most normal thing of all. Let me give you a short example. Before my wife and I moved from Southern California to Poughkeepsie in July, we researched what life would be like in Poughkeepsie and in the Hudson Valley, right? Looking at the promised land, right? So we talked to people, we read articles, we looked at photos, we looked at a lot of tourism magazines, and we imagined. And this preparation helped our hearts grow with excitement. It gave us a sense of anticipatory joy. Look at what it's going to be like in the future. And because we read about the beauty of the valley and the mountains and the waterfalls, and because we heard about the warm and welcoming people here, we anticipated it, and then when we experienced it, we've been able to say, it's true. What we heard with our ears and what we saw with our eyes, it's all true. So before we even moved here, we were already living here. And All Saints reminds us that our future home is not that far off. And it should fill our hearts with comfort. Now, comfort is a tricky word. Because sometimes when you use the word comfort, it feels like a nice, warm blanket. And when we say that we want to be comforted, sometimes we mean that we want to be kind of emotionally placated. But actually, the word comfort means with strength. That to be comforted means that you don't just sit and kind of mourn and grieve, but it actually, there's a process where it happens where you actually have strength to go forward out of your mourning. Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And kind of the upside down logic of the kingdom of God, in order to be strong, you have to name how you're weak. In order to be healed, you have to name the hurt. And that's why we mourn. We don't mourn to forget, do we? But to fully remember. And that by naming it, to gain strength. But it's not just about death. Because losses of all kinds are all kinds of deaths. And some of us need to grieve some of those kinds of deaths. A relationship with our parent we thought would be very different. A relationship with our children that's often strained. The loss of a job that changed with the economy or with your retirement. Some of us need to grieve the loss of a childhood we wish we would have had. The loss of a friend or family member who moved away. The loss of physical abilities. The loss of a relationship by death, divorce, or addiction. These are all kinds of deaths. And we need to name these losses. And in naming them, God gives us strength. But it's hard. I would imagine that almost every one of us in here has had a point where you find yourself in a conversation with someone and you go away from that conversation and said, wow, I had no idea that was really what was going on. But it just felt so good to talk about it. It's almost like the burden rolled off your back a little bit. We've had that experience, but yet, even though we have experienced that before, sometimes we struggle to grieve all that we need to grieve. But we can't be comforted if we don't mourn. And part of mourning is naming what's wrong. You noticed in our text that there are words like mourning, crying, and pain. These all point to a sadness that can't be hidden, a sadness that produces feelings of despair or distress. And then we read this very interesting phrase, and the sea was no more. It's an odd detail, isn't it? It's an odd detail. So what is the sea? Well, it's not to say that we should say goodbye to the Mediterranean, or that there is going to be a new Pangaea where all the continents are together. If you read the entire book of Revelation, you will notice that nothing good ever comes out of the sea. In this use of figurative language, everything that comes out of the troubled waters of the sea is troubling, especially to those who would love God. So there's not only the wild beast that comes out of the water, but there's this purple-clad Babylon which directly opposes Christ and his people. But in the new heaven and the new earth, the sea, that is, all that troubles us, will be calmed by the presence of God. We read, the home of God is with mortals. God himself will be with them. What's interesting is that the sea that's troubling is no more. But then there's crying. Did you notice that? All that's troubling passes away, and then it says, and God will wipe the tears from their eyes. So why, after all that's troubling is removed, are we crying? I would expect to see that the sea is no more and that no one would cry. Actually, there would be like a lot of happiness. That there's no reason to cry at all. And sometimes we hear, there are no tears in heaven. Well, eventually that's the case. But here, there are tears. So why? Have you ever gone through a period of illness or physical pain? And then later, the pain and the illness subsides, and you look back on it, and you say, wow, I feel so much better. I had no idea how bad it was. Have you ever had that before? It's only in the presence of kind of renewed health that you realize just how bad it was. I think it's similar to that. I think that when the sea is no more and all that is troubling is taken away, we're actually going to realize, perhaps for the first time, just how troubled we were. And we see that because we are then in the presence of all that is right and all that is good and all that is beautiful, and we will finally see just how beautiful but broken our life and our world was. For the first time, I think we are actually going to be able to speak truthfully and fully to all the trouble of all of our years. God, I was really hurt. I felt alone. I felt powerless. I felt confused. I thought the water would take me under. Part of the healing of heaven is that the truth is revealed. And because we openly mourn and because we openly tell the truth, therefore we can be comforted. And where is God when this truth is revealed? And our brokenness and our sadness is brought out. He is there with us. He's wiping the tears. He's not saying, there, it's really not so bad. Just a skinned knee. He's there touching our tears, wiping them away. And that life we see in the kingdom of the future is what God wants us to live into now. He wants us to look forward to that and help it inform our lives where we live right now. But I know that some of you are in troubled waters. And some of you are in the deep end, and some of you are in the shallow, but it's still troubled waters. And like Jesus with the disciples and with God at the renewal of all things, He wants to calm your heart. How? Well, first, by taking on flesh and becoming truly Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus dove headfirst into the troubled waters. He jumped into the troubled waters of poverty. He jumped into the troubled waters of life under an unjust and corrupt government. Into the troubled waters of a skewed religious system that was bigoted and self-righteous. He jumped headfirst into all that was troubling in this world, and it swallowed Him up. Jesus grieved the loss of His friend Lazarus. He grieved the loss of His mother, Mary, and His friend John when He was on the cross. He grieved the spiritual apathy of those around Him. He mourned the painful brokenness that comes about in our life that tears us apart from God. Jesus is referred to as a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And so on that future day, in that kingdom that will come, when the sea is no more, you will say, in that old earth, when things were different and bad, and the troubled waters arose, Jesus, I despaired. And He will know, because the same waters touched Him. But He was strengthened to eternal life. And that's the truth that should strengthen us. Yes, mourning may have me, but it can't keep me. Sadness might last for a night, but there is a resurrection. And just like Jesus died and was resurrected to new life, so you too will be resurrected to new life. And the cosmos itself will be resurrected to new life. And Paul says in one of his letters to the church, he says, in light of this, comfort one another with these words. That is, that the comfort that we receive from God is the comfort that we give out. The grace that comes to us wants to work through us. So the reconciliation of broken relationships that we want on earth is truly found in heaven. That should comfort us. The peacefulness we long for and the end of war and violence, all that's troubling in this world, it will pass away. Let not your heart be troubled. It will happen. It is a promise that God has made to you. So we are to live in light of it. And one day, when we see each other face to face in the new heaven and the new earth, we will say, it's all true. What we heard all of those years, it's really true. Can you believe that? It's all true. Friends, let your hearts be strengthened by this. In just a few moments, we're going to come to the table. Who's invited to the table? All who despair of themselves. All who look for God to help them and to provide for them salvation. It's not an empty religious rite. It is not just an empty thing that we do. It is communion. It is sitting around the table and letting our hearts be strengthened because we mourn. Let's pray. God, thank you that you are not a God that has removed yourself from our situation, but that you threw yourself headlong for us and this world. And so we thank you. We thank you for the beauty of the place that we live, but we know that it is somehow beautiful and broken. Help us to be people that you use to pick up and put back the broken pieces in the world around us. Help us not shy away from grief and mourning, but help us also to not let it steal the joy that we have in you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.